Well, today is the celebration we've been looking forward to, and it is a great moment of celebration together. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Look at this second window over here. There's the crucifixion in the middle. Here's the risen Jesus, the first glimpse. He is risen. He is risen indeed. In John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus said, "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Psalm 1 and 26 says, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Our mouths were filled with laughter." With laughter. "Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy." With laughter. You know me well enough by now to know that I don't tell too many preacher jokes. There's two or three reasons for that. Number one, sometimes preacher jokes are not very funny. The second thing about that is very tragic is when a preacher thinks he's funny, he or she thinks they are funny, but they're really not. And then I must confess that I don't tell too many jokes because, as my wife and my family remind me when I try to tell one, very often I miss the punchline. So hang with me here. Here we go. Today is a day of joy. It should be a day of laughter. So I'm going to try one joke. We're going to see how that goes. And if I move on, you'll know that I didn't feel very good about that. So here we go. A preacher was leading the children's moment on Easter Sunday. All the children gathered around, and he asked the children to imagine, "What do you think Jesus said when he came out of the tomb?" And all at once, the children were holding up their hands. Each one had an answer. They were very anxious to answer. And so the first one the preacher called, he said, "What do you think Jesus said?" He said, "I'm alive." "Oh, that's good." And then another child, "What do you think Jesus said?" He said, "It's a miracle." Well, there was one little girl in the middle of the crowd. She was going, I know. She was very anxious to answer. And so he said, okay. "What do you think the risen Jesus said when he came out of the tomb?" She stood up, she lifted her hands like this, and she went, "Ta-da!" Well, now I have a decision to make. That went pretty well. Do I quit while I'm ahead? I think I'll try one more. All right. Hope you find this one funny. Wives may not. There was a man and woman. They had a rocky marriage. And so they decided that they would take a tour of the Holy Land as a way of rejuvenating their marriage and bringing them closer together to go see where Jesus walked. So they planned this trip to the Holy Land. Well, when they got to the Holy Land, unfortunately, the wife died. And so the man was in shock. He went to an undertaker in Israel, and the undertaker said, "Now, it will cost you $5,000 to ship your wife back home to the United States." He said, "Whoa, $5,000. And the undertaker said, "Now, we do have a less expensive option." He said, "For $450, we can bury your wife here in the Holy Land." So the man was going, $5,000, $450. Bury her at home, here in the Holy Land. And so after just a few moments, he came back to the undertaker and he said, "I've decided to ship my wife's body back to the U.S. The undertaker asked, he said, "Are you sure, sir?" He said, "Are you sure you don't want to bury your wife here where her Lord died?" And he said, "No offense, but you all buried the Lord here, and after 3 days he rose again. I don't want to take that chance with my wife." All right. See, Easter laughter. I'm your new pastor. Gosh, it's so unusual to arrive prior to Lent. Lent is just such a solemn season. And so I'm so relieved to have a time where we can laugh together. This is great fun. This is enjoyment. This is what we've waited for, Easter laughter. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Our mouths were filled with laughter. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joy. That's good news. Today is a day of great joy. One of the most joyous Sundays we could ever share together. And the best part about it is we get to laugh even at death. Even at death, we get to laugh. We even get to mock death. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Isn't death perhaps our greatest, most formidable foe? I think about when I was a preacher boy and I started at age 21, and all of these funerals I've done over the years, and I've stood at all of these graves, and yes, I felt the emotion, but it didn't sink in until I started losing those who were closest to me. Death is a formidable foe. Death and all of our experiences of the power of death in so many forms rob us of life as God intended, life in all of its fullness, and our loss, our grief, our suffering, the depth of what we feel, the aftermath of what we lose scars us. And so when we walk away from all of our experiences of death, there are moments we feel defeated. That's how it was for the first disciples. They left everything to follow Jesus. They risked everything to be his student. They left their homes, everything they had known, and walked into the unknown following this man, even Jesus. They walked in his steps, they learned from him, and when he predicted his own death, they couldn't comprehend it. I've seen people through the years with cancer, with various illnesses, and when you get some lead time on the impending experience of death, the first reaction is denial. You just can't comprehend it, that this is happening to me. And so that's the story for the disciples. He said he would rise again after 3 days, but they couldn't comprehend it. And so they retreated to safety. The disciples, they all fell away. And when Jesus actually died, they were devastated. They didn't know how to cope. Haven't you been there? After a death, after a loss, you just sometimes you don't know how to cope. You see, Jesus' death was their worst case scenario. Have you ever faced a worst case scenario? It's the worst imaginable circumstance that you could ever imagine yourself being in. And they didn't know how to cope with it. Several years ago, I ran across a little book, and in moving, I rummaged through the book, through the boxes, to find this great little book. I used to actually carry it in my car. It's called The Worst Case Scenario Survival Handbook. It's awesome. I love it. It explains how to deal with all kinds of unusual circumstances that may come up. And so just listen to some of these topics for unusual circumstances you might have to cope with. How to escape from a sinking car. How to take a punch. Never thought about that. How to escape killer bees. This would come in handy, hopefully not too often, but how to perform a tracheotomy. How to use a defibrillator. How to deliver a baby in the back seat of a car. Might come in handy. How to survive if your parachute doesn't open. Drew Shelley and I had that very conversation. He is becoming a pilot. He said, we ought to fly together. I said, I'd have to have a parachute. He said, oh, I don't get high enough to have a parachute. And I said, well, I'm wearing one anyway. And he said, well, when we crash, they'll just find you all wrapped up in a parachute. I'm going to try to survive it. How to avoid getting struck by lightning. What to do if you see a lightning bolt coming. Pray. Quickly. That's not even in there. How to break down a door. How to fend off a shark. And then I love this one. How to jump from a moving train. So it's the worst case scenarios. You never think you're going to face this, but you never know. And so the death of Jesus was the worst case scenario for the disciples. They didn't know how to cope. Have you ever experienced that? My very first experience of death was when I was 5 years old. We had just moved from St. Louis, Missouri to Corinth, Mississippi. It was the morning of June the 25th, 1967. Exactly 1 month to the day that we had moved. It was a Sunday morning. I remember it vividly. Around 8:30 a.m., the phone rang, which we were new to town. That was odd that the phone would ring. So my brother and I shared a bedroom across the hallway from my parents. So we got up and we went into the hallway. And where I was standing at 5 years old, I could see my dad standing at his desk in their bedroom on the phone. And tears began to run down his cheek. I'd never seen my dad cry. And so we knew something was wrong. In just a moment, he hung up the phone and he turned and he told my mother that both of her parents had been killed in a car accident on the way to church. They lived in town and they drove back out to the little country church where I was baptized, Crossroads United Methodist Church. That 10-mile drive, it had been raining that morning and the sun had come out. The road was slick. And both of my grandparents were killed instantly. For all of us, but especially for my mother at 30 years old, it was our worst case scenario. See, I had just spent a week with those grandparents prior to the move. So the only memories I have of those grandparents were that week and the funeral. So we got up, we got packed, it was about a 5-hour drive, and we headed north for the funeral, and I remember every detail of the funeral at 5 years old. When we got to the viewing, one of my uncles lifted me up so I could see, I could peer over the edge of the caskets too. And I just spent a week with these grandparents, had a wonderful time, just soaked them in, and thank God, what a gift of grace to have those memories. And so I was peering as a child over the edge of the casket. My uncle was holding me, and in my innocence, I whispered to him, "Where are they going?" And through tears, the only answer he could produce was, "They're going to heaven to be with God." And he said, "Take a good look at them. You will want to remember." And I did. The memory I have of my mother is sitting in a rocking chair for what seemed like weeks, staring out the window, just engrossed in tears and sadness. It was a life-altering experience of death that affected all of us, our family, for years to come. It was our worst-case scenario. What have you faced in your life? What worst-case scenario have you faced? You see, death and the power of death threaten to rob us, threaten to snatch out of our hands and our lives all the joy, all the laughter that God intended for us, the enjoyment of this gift of life, and all of our losses connected with the many ways that the power of death expresses itself. All of those losses scar us in some way. But the good news of this morning is that God doesn't let the power of death have the last word. Our God is a God of life. God abides with us. God has always been at work to bring about life and fullness of life. So you see, God, all the way through the Bible, has tried to form this close connection with us, this communion, this spiritual connection, this bond of love that is unbreakable. And so plan A for God was Eden, connection between human beings and God and with one another. But we know how that ended. Death and the power of sin and evil and death entered into our human experience, became our human condition, and we became separated from God and one another. So plan A didn't work for God. Plan B was covenant. First covenant was with Noah. God tried to cleanse the earth and start again, but once again, even plan B failed. So now God is into it. God is into plan C, D, and F. Plan C was the Ten Commandments. We still have them. How's that going for you? We try and try and try to live by God's instructions, the core of His law, His instructions. This is the way to life. But over and over again, we fail. So plan C failed. Then there was plan D. God raises up these charismatic leaders, these anointed leaders. But people are fickle. And they didn't always listen or follow the priests and the prophets and the kings. And they were broken. And so God has gone through plan A, B, C, D, all the way down the list. God is trying to find a way of reconciling us, pulling us back, bridging the gap of separation, of drawing us back into this divine embrace of grace, but nothing is working Plan F was a beautiful sanctuary. Look at our sanctuary, where people would be drawn into the presence of God and learn the ways of God. The temple. But the temple wound up just as rubble, carried off, sacred objects carried off by warring armies. So what is God to do? You see, Jesus is God's worst case scenario solution. After all of these efforts to reconcile with humanity, God sends His one and only beloved Son to die on a cross, the most cruel form of death imaginable, to reconcile us, those who are separated from God, reconcile us back to God again. So that was God's worst case scenario solution. And it wasn't just the cross, it was this morning, resurrection morning. It took a while for the story to take hold. You see, when Mary Magdalene and the other women went to the tomb, they were in this fog of grief. The disciples didn't even go to the tomb. They didn't know how to cope. It was their worst case scenario. But Mary Magdalene went early in the morning. She found the stone rolled away. She peeked inside. She saw angels. "Why are you here?" Through her tears, she choked up this answer. "If you've taken him away, show me where he is." But then finally, the risen Lord speaks her name, Mary. "I'm ascending to my God the Father, your God the Father. So go and tell the others, I am risen, I'm alive, I'm ascending to God my Father, and I will abide with you as promised through the Holy Spirit." She ran and told the men came and ran and looked. They didn't know what to make of it. So here's the rest of the story. It takes a while for the story to be comprehended. You notice in the reading, they go back home. They don't know what to make of it. But in the coming days, the risen Lord reveals Himself as a continuing presence with us, among us and within us. That's our experience. And so once the good news of that took hold, then there was great joy. This is God's worst case scenario solution. The life, the death, the resurrection of Christ. And with a living faith and a living Lord, we can laugh at death. We can mock death. "O death, where is thy victory? Where is thy sting?" So I don't know what your worst case scenario has been. Thank goodness none of us know what might lie ahead of us to cope with. But we do know this. By the power of God and the abiding presence of God, death and the power of death have been defeated. Death and the power of death no longer hold sway over us. And we can laugh at death. We can mock death. And we can sing about the steadfast love of the Lord and the presence of God with us that endures. And when you know that, doesn't make the losses any easier, but you know how to make your way forward better. And so take heart. Take heart today. Gather your strength today. Live with hope today. Persevere in faith today. Cherish the joy of this service, this moment, this day of resurrection. Laugh today. Ta-da! Laugh. That's what God intended. Today we celebrate Jesus is risen. Jesus lives. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Today we realize Jesus is God's worst case scenario solution. Today we are an Easter people with an Easter faith and an Easter hope. Today we sing, we enjoy one another in our fellowship with God and with one another. We laugh, even at death. Death does not have the last word. We are able to sing and overcome fear with faith. Today, all the seeds that we sow in tears, we find that we now reap the fruit of joy. And so it's a great day. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The living Lord is God's worst case scenario solution. Place your faith every day in Him. It makes a difference. For He abides with us, and we abide in Him. And we get to share in the life of God that brings great joy. And so I hope and pray that you feel that joy today, and whatever you have faced in the past, whatever you may be facing today, whatever you may face in the future, you will have greater confidence that comes from the living Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen.